Hello and welcome to the DL Gaming Podcast. I'm your host, Robert Digital.
I'm Mender's Logic.
I'm Flopsy, and this is the podcast by PC Gamers for PC Gamers.
All right, here we go, episode number 55. We are a little over halfway to 100.
Yeah, surprising that we're still doing this.
Still here. We haven't given up yet.
Awesome. So it kind of felt like a slow week to me, but I don't know, maybe I'm wrong here. We've got a few things going on. We've got the Telltale Games, new Hearthstone expansion. What are we going to start with, Telltale?
Yep, let's do it.
All right. Sure.
So I've always said that I'm not much of a point-and-click type dude, but I played the episode one of the Walking Dead one, and I was like, okay, I like that enough to play the second episode. So I played the second episode, and I really got pulled into it this time. And I was like, you know what, I'll just play all of them. And since the two new ones came out. And so since I played all of them this week, I think I can do kind of a comparison on what's going on. When I say Walking Dead, I'm talking about season one. So I'm still playing season one.
So you haven't even done season two of The Walking Dead
yet?
No,
I haven't.
Okay.
So I'm midway through the season one. So I'm going to be comparing that to the other two Telltale games. That's Game of Thrones and Tales from the Borderlands. So I played episode one of both of those because that's all that's available. And what do you think about the episodic release anyway? Obviously, you would want the whole thing at once, right?
I don't know. I'm okay with the episodic release. You kind of forget about what's going on in the story.
That's the
when
problem.
They space it out so much.
Yeah.
That is a little difficult. But then it's a little overwhelming to play all that at once, too. So I did enjoy The Wolf Among Us. I enjoyed both the Walking Dead games. I haven't played the Telltale one or the Game of Thrones one. I felt season one of The Walking Dead was probably the worst one of all of them. I felt like the second one was a big improvement. They stuck to their strengths, and they kind of cleaned up some of the messier parts. It becomes less of a point-and-click adventure and more of just interactive storytelling.
Mm-hmm. Which I think that's going to be my overarching thing with Telltale is I want that more than I want... Stop trying to gamify it. Because
yeah, don't put the puzzles in.
The puzzles and the QuickTime events.
Yeah, oh God.
Although they're getting better. I don't want to get ahead of myself. Go ahead.
Well, the Game of Thrones ones that I was watching you play, the QuickTime events looked really cool.
Yeah, that was the best. They've done it the best in that one. It's weird because you would think that they would gradually get better with everything, but it seems to be like this game was good at this, and this game's good at that, and that game's good at this. None of them did it all perfectly, except for Borderlands gets the closest, but they had the worst combat. For my taste, the combat's all over the place. But okay, so I started with The Walking Dead. The puzzles seemed... the biggest problem for me in The Walking Dead one... I like the voice acting. I like the characters. I like where the story's going. Although it could have been a little bit more different from the TV show. It's not exactly. It's the same world. It's a different area. They have nothing to do with each other. There's only one crossover character, but a lot of the same shit. They do the same shit. So you know they go and live on a farm for a little while, and then they run into cannibals. And it's just like all the same things seem to be just a little too close to the TV show for my liking.
Yeah.
But they could have done it in a city. You know, the whole thing could have happened in a city, like a metropolis and stayed in a city. Or, you know, maybe somewhere cold or whatever. You know, they could have fucked around. But no, it's still Atlanta and it's still in the same area. So,
yeah.
That's not complaining about... Overall, I really enjoyed it. The biggest problem for me was the puzzles. I must have walked around that fucking store a million times trying to do these. It's just like...
That's in the first episode, right?
In the first episode,
store. And that was a long episode, too. And you'll see throughout the first season, the puzzles get less and less. And then by the time you get to the second season, there's hardly any puzzles at all, and it's all story.
That's awesome.
But they really tone it down, and they kind of condense it a little bit. How many have you played? How many episodes of season one? Two? Okay.
Yeah.
I like the second one. A lot of people criticize that one as being the worst, but I like the second one. I did not enjoy the fourth one as much.
It's five episodes each season, right?
Yeah.
The fifth one was great. Now, this won Game of the Year 2012 at the Spike VGAs, I remember. And I think that's because it was just such a new concept back then. I mean, we've been kind of inundated with these types of games lately, especially from Telltale. And they're good games, but a lot of people forget about when Telltale wasn't that good. I played the Jurassic Park game and the Back to the Future game, which is essentially the same thing, but really heavy on the puzzle side. Story severely lacking. The Jurassic Park game, all quick time events. It was so bad. And I love Jurassic Park. I'm really excited about the new movie coming out. And I was so disappointed in this game.
I'm just surprised hearing you guys say, I want less puzzles and more story. Because, like, Emilio's the guy that won't even read the WoW quests before clicking on them. Like, he doesn't... Just tell me where to pick up the items or kill the things. So what is different about this one?
But this is what they do. Story is what they do. Story and integrated stories is what they do. And that's the good part. Making really tough decisions and giving me a timer in order to do it. You know, it adds stress to... That's the game. You're trying to make... They put you in shitty positions with other people's personalities. That's the puzzle. That's the game that I'm looking for. Not the... You're not gonna give me the mechanics of any, you know, a shooter. I'm not gonna... Don't try. That's not what you do. Mm. Tell a story. Make it intriguing. And they do that, but they muddle it. It's almost a suspension of disbelief or whatever, because you have to go and do this mundane task that interrupts. I'm glad that they're going away from that, and I guess I'll be running into that.
Yeah, and I can't wait until you play The Walking Dead Season 2, because I really enjoyed that one. But Season 1 was okay. And, you know, this was the first game that they really played around with the story that heavily and kind of introduced that type of mechanic. But I don't know, is the Borderlands one or the Game of Thrones one better? Like, out of those two, if you got to buy one, which one would you say to go
with? I would definitely say the... Let me wrap up The Walking Dead. I'm just going to say that it's a game of really hard choices. It's just like rock or hard place, rock or hard place, rock or over and over. And I feel empathy for these characters, like, right away. They're really well done. I don't know what it is about me. I just can't see things... Even cartoons suffer. I think if somebody drew a smiley face on a popsicle stick, I would have empathy for it. If somebody snapped it, I'd be like, oh, don't fuck with him. So I must be, because I just feel like I can't be mean to this. Did you cut the guy's leg off in the second? He gets caught in the bear trap, and you have an axe, and the only way... Did you cut his leg off?
Yeah.
I didn't.
Cause really?
He's like, no, no, no. I was like, all right, dude, you fucking...
But I thought it was the only way to save him. I had to make that call.
Yeah.
But it's like...
He's got a smile on his face while he says that.
But that's what they do so well. They do stories so well, and it's like watching a movie or a TV show, except you have agency. You are able to make the decision. So it's not like when you watch a movie or a TV show and you disagree with what a character does. Like in that situation, like, you wouldn't have cut the leg off. I would have. I'm like a no bullshit kind of guy. I'm like, nope. We got to solve this problem right now. You know, if I had saw that in a movie and someone had a little bit of a hesitation, I'd be like, nope, that's not what I would have done. I have a chance to actually make that decision in this game.
Yeah, but would these even be considered games at this point if you're removing all the game elements?
Yeah. Well, that's a big question.
Because, you know, it's branching. So, you know.
But a Choose Your Own Adventure book isn't a game, is it?
Yeah, I think so, because you can win or lose, right?
I don't know.
You can't really
whatever constitutes a game is out there in the ether, you know. We can't really...
If you're enjoying yourself...
Yeah. It's right? an that's interactive enough for me.
Either
experience.
Way.
So is jerking off, and that's not a game.
I failed at that.
All right. Anyways.
So then I played Game of Thrones, because I really enjoyed this. I'm like, oh, maybe I do like these games. Got into the Game of Thrones. Probably the worst of the bunch. For some reason, for no reason... Why... I don't know. It came out so many years later. Animations are all over the place. Jerky movements.
Yeah.
Talk about, like, taking you out of the story. Mm-hmm. They're not very fluid in their movements. It's very, like, robotic. Like, they're all the marionette puppet-ish. You know, not that bad. But
well, I noticed with the Game of Thrones one.
Sorry.
Just from looking at some screenshots and some gameplay footage, I noticed that they were going for a little more of a lifelike presentation rather than that stylized, oily kind of rendition that we're used to.
It looks hand-painted from when I was playing it. So the first one is definitely like a cartoon, I would say, when I say Walking Dead. The second one, they went for a more hand-painted look with like some realism. Touches realism. And then Borderlands is just straight Borderlands.
Yeah. Well, a problem with the first Walking Dead Season 1 was some of those jerky animations. And that can draw you out of the story.
Yeah, for sure. So and they're worse in this than they were in there.
Really?
There's a patch coming up, or it just came out, so maybe it'll be better after the patch. But
wow.
Yeah.
There's only one episode for Game of Thrones out right now, right?
Yes. Okay. It just came out.
Same with Borderlands?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Now, the cool thing about these games, too, is when you make decisions, it will it can affect things later on down the line. But when you finally get to the end and you beat the game, then it will tell you you made this decision. 40% of people also made that decision. Yeah. It compares you to like what other people did. So see if you, I guess it's a way of seeing if you won the game. You know, did you make the decision that most people would make? It's not really like winning the game, but it's an interesting way to look at it.
Besides the animations, the game was great. All the acting was top notch.
Is this following the story of Game of Thrones, or is this?
Yes. So it happens right after the Red Wedding. And you're a banner man of the Starks. So the Starks are all dead. They just got... Spoilers.
Yeah.
They're not around anymore.
If you don't know what the Red Wedding's about.
Everybody knows what Red Wedding's about.
So since you were their bannerman, it's kind of like you're in limbo. You have nobody to back you up anymore because the Starks aren't there. And you're a small house. And so you start getting outside pressure because you no longer have your big brothers looking out for you. And so... It follows that, and you play three different characters. One is the newly head of house, who's a kid. Another one is a squire who no longer has his lord he has to leave. And then you get to play a girl who's at King's Landing to try to ask for help with the pressures that her house is getting.
Mm.
And I thought it was really, it was really well done. And there's a point where you have to go see the Queen Regent, Cersei. And I was like, you're walking towards the Throne of Swords, and Tywin is there, and she's sitting right there. I'm like, I knew this is going to be a motherfucker. And dude, she dominated me. I thought I was going to do well in the interview. It's what it is. The interview stomped me. Like everything, I was like, ooh, and you only have a few seconds to think. Yeah. And she's like, oh, so really? So that means you mean this. And I was like, no, that's not what I mean. But there's no button for that, right? Yeah.
Yeah,
I don't think there is a right answer. She just fucking crushed me.
Damn.
Yeah. And that was really cool. And almost a little bit of intimidating, you know, like this is a boss fight, you know, kind of thing.
Well, that's interesting because there was a really good panel maybe a few years ago that PC Gamer did at some convention. I can't remember what. This is right before XCOM Enemy Unknown came out, to give you an idea of the time. But they had some big names in gaming, and they were talking about storytelling. And the guy who was, I cannot remember his name, but the guy who worked a lot on Walking Dead. This is shortly after Walking Dead Season 1 came out. He was there, and he talked about something. He made a really interesting point about choice in storytelling and how he didn't want, when they were creating The Walking Dead, they didn't want people to feel like there was a right choice and a wrong choice, and they had to figure out which one was the right one. Mm. They didn't want that to be the game. They just wanted option A and option B.
Right.
And some people go with option A, and some people go with option B. One is not better than the other. It's just, you know...
That's up to your personal preference. And it works.
Yeah.
And the combat, I really enjoyed in this one. I would say I enjoyed the most. I didn't really enjoy it. Because your hands have to be in three different positions. You have to be on mouse, you have to be on arrow keys, and you have to be on letters. So it was kind of like a little shell game at times when it gets intense. So you have to do a mouse thing, then you have to use the arrow keys... And then you have to do Q, W, S over here. So it's not like all crazy, but it's a lot easier than just having your hands lay there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
you could actually fuck it up.
You could actually fuck it. And I did. I got killed a few times.
Gotcha.
As opposed to Walking Dead, where they just kind of give you a wacky mouse. Like at times, the mouse doesn't, you know, you got to just click here. That's all you got to do. But it's all like, it's hard to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you to have click. To kind of, it's like riding a bull or something. Yeah, yeah, you got to kind of get it in your right spot. Yeah. Sometimes those QuickTime events catch me off guard, though. I'll be involved in the story, and I'll be wondering about stuff, and all of a sudden it's like press Q not to die or something, and then yeah. I have to jump on the keyboard, and it kind of takes me out of the experience. And that's why I don't like them as much.
Exactly. Yeah, but when you know the tension's rising and, oh, this is obviously going to be a fight, let me get ready, and it did happen in Game of Thrones like that, then I did enjoy it. It was pretty good. Oh, and... I mean, Game of Thrones is known for its shocking, out of nowhere stuff. It got me. Like at the end of the episode, it's such a good a cliffhanger.
Wow.
Now let me get into my favorite of the bunch, which is the Tales of the Borderlands. The best Borderlands graphics I've seen. I mean, it's so pretty. From the intro, you know that first intro in the first game, Borderlands 1. Where a caged the elephant comes on, the skag gets. This is the best intro since then.
Really?
It's not as good as that, but it's almost as good. I mean, great song. I can't name the song. I don't know what it is. they have that like it almost looks like 3D. There's depth of field and a lot of style. A lot of like I can't. The intro was awesome. Now here we go again. Now the combat was terrible. I don't know what's going on exactly. You can kind of call down the loader bots to fight for you. You're basically a Handsome Jack ripoff is what you're playing most of the game as, I think. Man, I don't know what's going on really. It's like push Q. Now, look right, then push left. It was kind of, they're trying to do the same thing, but not nearly as well because it's not you. You're controlling a thing. If this is all sounding confusing, it's because it was. I don't know what the fuck was going on. It was really weird.
I'm not sure what to make of all that.
Yeah.
But you're saying this was your favorite one.
Yeah, because there's comedy. You know, the first one is like despair. Walking Dead is like despair. Second one is kind of like intrigue and suspense. And this one, comedy. And they nailed it. I don't know who they have over there at Gearbox, but there's a funny motherfucker over there. Because
wait, this is... Borderlands.
Oh, maybe.
Tales from the Borderlands?
I don't think anyone in Gearbox was involved in making this. I think this was all Telltale, but Gearbox gave them whatever resources they needed to create the game.
I said Gearbox because it's very much in the Borderlands. The comedy is in the same vein.
Hmm. So maybe the Borderlands guys actually did the script for this.
Maybe. Yeah,
maybe
the
same writers or something.
But I laughed out loud a couple of times. It's really good. It looks amazing. It plays well. The animations are really cool. It's just the combat is... Maybe I'll get used to it later.
Yeah.
How much are these games?
$24.99.
$30 for Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
And that's for all five episodes. You can't buy individual episodes?
No.
Okay.
You just get it as one big bundle, and they release each one as it comes out.
And you're saying both those games are worth the $25 to $30?
I think so. Yeah.
Wow. I'm definitely gonna.
If you're gonna do one, sorry. If you're gonna do one, I would go with the one you're the fan of the most. I'm picking on certain parts about them, but they're not that far apart that you should get one. If you're a Game of Thrones fan, go for it. I mean, really, walking down that aisle. To talk to that, I was like, wow, this is cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then there's little parts where like I'm trying to avoid spies. I'm like, can I trust this guy? I really feel like I'm in King's Landing. It's really good.
Is there any nudity in Game of Thrones?
Not yet.
No.
I keep waiting.
Because there was quite a bit in the show until recent seasons, but I was wondering if that carried over into the game.
No.
It's interesting to see Borderlands, though, because that's more of an action comedy, and they really haven't done... anything like that before.
Yeah, you know, I didn't expect much out of the game, and I really like it.
I gotta say, my favorite one, I played all the Telltale games except for these two new ones, and, I mean, that'll happen eventually, but my favorite one so far is definitely The Wolf Among Us, and that one, they really focused on story. They didn't really do too much with puzzles, and it's more of like a detective murder mystery kind of thing, which isn't really up my alley, but I really enjoyed it.
Hmm.
Cool. I think I'll pick that up on next sale. Winter sale's coming up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it'll be on sale for probably $8.50 or something like that, and I definitely recommend grabbing it if you're a fan of these types of games.
Yeah. All right, I'm done talking.
All right, I guess I'll jump in. The Hearthstone expansion came out this week. Goblins versus Gnomes. It's 143 cards, but that's all it is. There's no class challenges. There's no single player mode. It is just an expansion, just like you would get from any CCG kind of game or TCG.
Well, the thing is, when a new expansion comes out in those, you can buy those packs specifically.
You can in this as well.
Oh, okay, cool.
So I played some Arena. I played some just solo match, and it's really a blending of the two. It's just expanding the card base out, because like if you're in Arena, you know, and you get three commons that pop up, you know, one of those cards might be from the expansion and two from the original. It's really just adding to the card base and going from there.
So in the Arena, they're mixed packs.
So after you complete the Arena and you get your pack, it'll be a new pack. It will be from the expansion pack. It won't be from the old.
And the expansion pack has old cards in it?
No, no.
But
when you're playing the Arena and you're selecting your cards for your deck,
right,
you'll get old and new.
Okay.
It's just the full gamut.
Gotcha.
And so when you're buying packs, there's two different options. You can buy the old packs or the new packs.
Same price?
Same price. Everything's the same. Apparently there's an issue, not an issue, but the expansion came out, people went to buy all these packs, and the default was left on the old packs, so a bunch of people accidentally bought $50 worth of old content instead of new content, which then they had to do customer service requests and everything like that, and it actually delayed the European launch because they had so many people putting tickets in.
I remember it was like a week later or something, a few days.
But so pretty much across the board, people have been really praising this new expansion. The basic premise of the expansion, it's Goblins versus Gnomes. So they added a new type called Mech. So that goes along with like Beast or Pirate. So it's a different card type, and they do a lot of stuff working with Mech. And then the other side, the kind of other part is adding the Goblins and the Gnomes, but they're not a card type. They're just added in to do different things. So they are working with mechs, or they do different things, revolving mechs. And then there's a lot of RNG-related stuff in this expansion also, kind of how Goblins kind of, you know, the bomb either blows up you or blows up them. Right. It's got a lot of that sort of stuff. So, for example, there's a 6-4 mech. When it dies, it drops a random 4-cost card on your side. It could be a super rare, it could be a legendary, or it could be something.
Right.
Another card.
I always like random stuff.
Yeah. Another card is Unstable Portal.
What does RNG specifically stand for?
Random number generator.
Random number generator.
Yeah.
Okay, that's right.
So, there was
it's what always kills me in Assault.
Yeah, exactly. So, there was a little competition this week. First week, Firebat, who is one of the top
champion.
Was playing RDA, I believe was the other guy's name. And so they were playing some decks, and they played a modified Hunter deck with a couple new cards thrown in. They played a modified Paladin deck with a couple new cards thrown in, and they were doing some Warrior decks with new cards thrown in. So I think the meta is going to change slightly, but it's not going to be across the board. You're going to see some
mech decks.
I'm sure people will try them out, but a lot of these cards, people are just incorporating some of the new cards in and not necessarily changing the whole meta.
Which is usually how it works anyway.
So the other thing that they added, which I haven't had a chance to check out yet, is they added spectator mode into the game. So if your buddy is playing a game, you can actually select them and go to spectate. And I know it's something that people have been asking for. So this expansion they went a different direction than Naxxramas, where Naxxramas was very single player heavy. This was very much focused on rounding out the card base and making sure there's enough options and keeping the the decks fresh. You know, like this is one of those games that mm-hmm. once the pros come out with all these net decks and everybody's gets it, kind of stalemates pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it gets stagnant. So I think this is good. And the pace that they're putting out these expansions, what, Naxxramas was what, 3-4 months ago?
Yeah, this was really quick.
And then this one comes out. I mean, they still haven't done a monk deck, so I'm still waiting on them to do a monk yeah. as a set. I mean, they got a lot of ways they can go. The new expansion of WoW came out recently, so I'm sure if they wanted to incorporate some of that into an expansion, they could do something like that.
They have so much freedom because it's online only and there's no physical cards.
Yeah.
They can rewrite any card anytime they want. They have so much freedom. They can RNG. They could do things where, you know, where you have to pick up the card. Your opponent can pick up your card mm-hmm. and stuff like that. You can never do that in a real card game. So.
Yeah, there's a legendary warrior card that says place a bomb card in your opponent's deck, and when he draws that, he takes 10 damage.
Awesome.
Like you couldn't do that in a regular
CCG
game. So. I really like what they're going with this. I hope they continue to put out new expansions. I'm sure there's going to be a couple cards in here that are broken and need to be adjusted. But on the whole, it looks like it's pretty balanced right now.
Chad was like, hey, you going to play this? Because we could talk about it on the podcast. I was like, if I install that again, dude, it's another 5-10 hours a week.
Yeah.
I don't want to do it.
That's going to be
really intrigued, though.
Yeah, Blizzard has got me like, I'm playing this, I'm playing WoW, yeah. like, I'm... probably going to think about playing Heroes of the Storm a little bit. Like, I could be all day on Blizzard if I wanted to.
They started opening up that beta, too, to everybody except me, apparently. But I was going to ask, does it seem like any specific class has more of an advantage now since the decks come out, or you said it's pretty balanced?
So they've put in... When some classes were weaker in some spots than others, for example, they put in a two-cost shaman card, which is a 2/3 with Wind Fury. I think it was 2/3 with Wind Fury, or 3/2 with Wind Fury. Just like a super strong two-cost, because they were kind of weak on their curve on two. And I noticed a couple of the other ones have put in specific areas where they had some weaknesses in their like curve and their rotation. So I think they kind of were set up to even out the playing field a little bit. Because hunters have been so strong, so dominant recently. Everybody that seems to be playing this playing
crazy,
hunters.
Bobby. Like one class will get ahead or whatever, and they'll just change one mana on one card,
mm-hmm.
and it'll just break because that card is in every one of those decks.
Yeah. Yeah.
You just change one mana on one card, and the whole thing drops one tiny notch, and it just seems to be enough sometimes.
Yeah,
they do a really good job.
And a lot of, like, if you're trying to play ranked and you're trying to go up, you'll have to change your deck styles depending on what level you are at. So, for example, like, the higher levels tend to play with a lot of, like, big creatures because it's a lot of the Timmies that just want to drop big bombs and try to kill you that way. Mm-hmm. So you'll have to play decks that can counter those big guys. And then when you get down to the lower levels, you know, the higher ranked stuff, they'll start doing more net decks, and so you got to be able to play decks that can counter net decks and all. So there's a little bit of a gaming inside the game, you know, involved with the meta of actually trying to rank up to as high as rank as you can.
You got to plan against your opponent.
Exactly. Hmm. So yeah, that's basically what's going on.
Good.
Yeah, yeah. I haven't spent any money. I've just been doing arenas and just kind of earning.
You like the cards? You like everything?
Yeah, like it's really. I'm having a lot of fun. I haven't seen anything that I'm like, are you serious with this? Like,
yeah.
Nothing like that yet, so.
Which is a very Chad thing to say.
Yeah.
So it's 143 cards in this, and how many total does that bring it up to? Like, how many total cards are there?
I don't know.
That's a good
like,
question.
Is 100, I'm just trying to get an idea of how big 143 is.
I would guess they were probably in the 300s, maybe?
Yeah, I was going to guess 30%, but
yeah.
I don't know.
So they... Wow.
Yeah, it's a pretty significant size.
Hmm.
If only we had a producer.
All right, okay. So that's it for Hearthstone.
All right, cool. Last week, a little less than a week ago, after hearing that Valiant Hearts won Best Narrative and Best Indie at the Video Game Awards, I decided to play it. I had had this game for a long time. I had been waiting for it to go on sale. It finally went on sale. I bought it. It was just sitting there. And finally, I decided I just got to play it.
He's a bandwagoner.
Yep. Yeah. Well, sometimes when you got that many games, you gotta
you gotta
have some method to choose.
I'll
buy everything first and wait till it wins awards, so I know it's good after you buy it.
Exactly. Yeah. And I knew this game was good. And Chad, I think you played some of it too a while back when it first came out. And yeah, I knew it was good. It was just waiting to be played. But finally got around to playing it. It was great. It had a great story. It it was a 2D puzzle platformer.
Would you consider it a puzzle platformer?
Very light on the puzzles.
I would consider it a point and click. More of a point and click adventure.
It did kind of have platforms. There was a lot of changing of levels and stuff.
Yeah.
But a lot of history in this game. Quite a bit. And it's all, like, history is more interesting than fiction in a lot of cases.
Yeah,
I'm noticing that. Like, especially when you get older, like, at least for me, I'm watching so much more, so many more documentaries and stuff, and I'm, like, fascinated by all this accurate information.
Fuck that shit, man. Unless there's aliens or fucking Bigfoot, I don't know. History's pretty boring to me.
Bullshit. That's used to be all you watched when you were when we had cable, was you'd watch the History Channel. And
History Channel.
Science Channel.
Only Ancient Aliens, dude.
Oh, okay. My bad. But, no, but this
by
game,
the way, the answer's always aliens.
It's true. This game actually has, like, real items in there that if you click on, you'll actually get the full history of it. So I think it's cool that a game can actually teach you something about
when
the world and in the past and all. So
you can take it too far, though, like Crusader Kings 2, where as you start, it says, this is all actual history up until this point where you insert yourself, because obviously you're breaking history at that point. Even though you're playing a real dude that really lived. And any dude, when I say a dude, we're talking like 400, 500 fucking lords, dude. There's so many. And you can click on any one of them and it'll open up their Wikipedia page and you could see why he was an asshole.
They're
all assholes, every single one of them.
That's crazy.
Too much information.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like anything I say about this game is going to be reiterating what so many people have already said, but it really is a good game.
You're saying it in the golden voice, dude. It's much better that way.
Okay, well,
there it is. He hates when I say it.
Yeah. I got kind of bored playing this game. Like, I wanted it to get to the end, and it didn't get to the end, and then it played some more, and I kept thinking it was getting to the end, and it kept going.
You kept saying it looked like a Flash game.
Yeah, it does. It does. Like, I felt like when I was playing it, I could have been playing it on a browser.
Yeah. It does have that kind of animation to it. And there are a few parts, like what we're watching right now is one of the car chase scenes where it is like a real-time event where you have to dodge objects and sometimes throw things. Yeah, it's fun, though. And what I like about this game is that it's a game about a war. And so many games that we play, so many video games are in World War One, World War Two, futuristic wars, there's a lot of battle games. You're just killing random people. But this one actually takes a personal story and makes it very real and true. And
100% agree with you on that.
I wonder if this had any influence on the War of Mine, or this War of Mine, you know, them making the...
It's possible. Well, you know, I think I may have messed up earlier when I said this won Best Narrative and Best Indie. I think it actually won Best Narrative and Game for Change, and it was up against this War of Mine for Game for Change, so it beat that game out. And I would have to say, like, I was a little surprised at that at first, and then I played this game, and like, the story carries it. It is really good, but I don't see, this is something that you would have to be a little older, I think, to enjoy, or you know, a little, you'd have to be okay with these kind of slower paced games.
Yeah, that's what it is. The pacing on this game is a lot slower than other games, and I can definitely see gamers being frustrated.
Chad hates it because it's not made by Blizzard.
That's true.
I cannot picture anybody under the age of 20 playing this game and enjoying it. That's what I was thinking as I played this game.
I'm sure I'm sure there are ones, but I know what you mean. It's like the ADD generation is not going to like this game.
Yeah.
How much do you know how much it is on Steam?
$14.99 retail. It actually wasn't on sale very often. I think I ended up picking it up in a Ubisoft pack. I probably paid maybe
this is UB Light or whatever. What's they've got their
like indie studio.
Yeah.
I think Child of Light was in on that too. Maybe Trials Fusion.
This has got that same kind of art style where it's very focused on the visual look of things, and it's not like trying to be hyper realistic, but it's trying to be its own style and all, which I can appreciate.
Credit to them to have a studio like that. That's more focusing more on sound, you know, not your hard graphics and all the money mm-hmm. goes into that, mm-hmm. but and voice acting and all the big budget stuff, and more about, you know, story driven and playing with different little things. Like Child of Light was more of a mechanic, right? One mechanic drew the whole.
But it was very beautiful, very pretty. So
yeah. And I think a lot of people get caught up in this game sucks or this game's better. And really when it comes down to it, it's all preference. Like we were saying earlier, sometimes you're in the mood for this kind of game. Sometimes you're in the mood for something else. You know, it really depends on what your state of mind is.
Yeah, so definitely.
Coming off of some first-person shooters, this was great.
So I played some more Dragon Age Inquisition. I still haven't played as much as I want. I'm probably on the character I'm playing. I'm probably at 4 or 5 hours played on this one, probably.
So half of 1%.
Yeah, maybe. But I'm out of the intro, and I'm into the actual how the game played. So I want to just talk a little bit more because when we had talked, we had really only been on the intro part. So once you get through the beginning part and get into the actual gameplay. It's a lot of, it kind of feels like a quest hub for WoW. Like you go and there's quests and you start talking to people and there's more quests. And then you kind of have this area that you can explore, but it's not open world. You can't go from one spot to the next. So the first area you're in is called the Hinterlands. And it's a huge area and you can run all over and it's got quests everywhere. And you've got to pick up all the sorts of items and there's enemies everywhere, but you can't just go to the other side of the map. Like, you can't just go to the other zone. You're kind of stuck in the hinterlands, and you could fast travel to the other areas, but you can't get there by just walking. So it's not open world like that, like a GTA. You can't just go from one side of that island to the other, but there is a lot more of exploring and picking up objects than there was in the intro that we had talked about last week.
I guess what they said when they're saying more open world, I guess, they must have been comparing it to the other Dragon Ages, which were far more linear than even that. So
yeah.
I guess that's what they were going for.
This game, while I'm playing it, so I haven't played the other Dragon Ages, but I played, you know, the Mass Effects, and I'm just getting a lot of Mass Effect 3 playing this game.
Mm.
You kind of have the, you know, dialogue options, kind of like how Mass Effect did, and choosing options will get people to approve or disapprove of what you say and all.
Can you have anybody in your group be the front man?
So the main character is always the one talking.
Oh, okay.
It's kind of, I'm not used to the kind of four person parties that this game has. For example, I had to kill these rams for a quest. And my guy's a two-handed sword guy. And so I'm trying to run at these rams that are just running away. And I'm like, fuck, I wish I had ranged attacks. And then I realized...
You got three guys.
Yeah, we got three guys.
Stroking each other in the back.
Exactly. And I'm like, fuck. So I just switched to the range guy. He was just shooting them. I'm like, oh my God, I'm an idiot. I've done a lot more combat. So I've done some of the... Not the... What is it called? Where you pause the game and you can put actions
tactical
in.
Tactical view.
The tactical view. So I did some more of that. And I'm just not... I'm not thrilled with it right now. Mm-hmm. So most of the time, I'm just playing as my guy, swinging away, doing his abilities, and letting the other guys kind of do what they want to do.
Are you taunting?
I have taunt. I don't use it too much because I don't have a ton of armor.
Okay.
The Cassandra, the kind of...
But my mage keeps dying. I don't know why.
None of my guys really have died. Until I went into the level 12 zone by accident.
Yeah.
And just got spanked by these guys.
Yeah.
I wasn't really dying too much. It's also kind of got the mechanic where... I had only seen this before in Lords of the Fallen, where you have potions, you have health pots that refill only when you go hit to a save point. Mm. So you have 8 health pots.
Total for the whole group.
Total for the whole group.
And they're communal, right?
They're communal.
Yeah.
But if you get to a save point and rest or whatever, you'll get all of them back. Your supplies are replenished. Mm. So, like, when I got way out on the map, I started running out of health pots and had to, like, kind of run my way back. So there is... although right now there isn't a whole lot of danger, I still felt like, oh, I got to turn around and go home here because I'm running out of pots.
I'd like to play that out in real life. Like, one dude holding the health pot, and he's, the other one's hurt. He, like, grabs it off his thing, starts chugging it.
Yeah, so I'm starting to like this more. I'm starting to see what people are looking at. I would say, like, if you're into the Dragon Age or the Mass Effects, then this game's doing a lot for me. The story is still, I am still completely lost. It's still mages versus
Crusader. I keep forgetting what they're called.
I forget what it's called.
The Order or something. I don't know.
So and then So other than the story, I'm liking everything so far. So
I'll be getting this as soon as I can afford it, so I'm waiting on that. And then I'll tell you what the PC one's like.
Game of the year right there.
Boom. The fuck's Ziggurat?
Ziggurat. Ziggurat is actually a real thing. It's a Mesopotamian
shape, right?
It's a Mesopotamian pyramid, basically. It's like a pyramid with a bunch of steps.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I just remember
it's in
Frozen Throne.
Yeah.
If you play the undead, then their housing units are called ziggurats, and if you try to build shit, it'll say need more ziggurats. And that's kind of what I knew the word from. So when I saw it again, I'm like, well, maybe this is actually a thing, not just something made up in a video game.
Did you Google it?
I Googled it.
I knew something.
Yeah. I knew it was a shape.
It added part of my useless knowledge that I have.
It does sound like a racial slur or something, though.
Ziggurat. Well,
fucking ziggurats.
Well, it's got two G's in it.
Messing up our neighborhood.
So what kind of game is this?
This is a first-person shooter roguelike. Which is an interesting mix. Has this been done before? Probably.
Probably.
I don't think I've played anything like this before. But this is by the same company that did Little Street Racers, which wasn't a very good game. A few other games not even worth mentioning. Kind of a small studio. But this game, I saw it and I recognized this kind of twitchy Quake, Doom, old school kind of play style right away. And I'm like, that looks fun. I'm not super huge into roguelikes. It's not 2013 anymore, so I think we've all kind of moved on from that.
Nope.
But
no,
this game was a lot of fun. Just the actual gameplay was so much fun because this is like my kind of shooter. You know, that old school, you know, Dark Forces 2 Jedi Knight's my favorite game, and that'll tell you something about
it. It's like a first-person gauntlet?
Yeah, kind of like that. Yeah. It's like medieval. You play a character, you can unlock several different ones that have different abilities. You get you have 3 different types of magic, and you know, one of them's staff, one of them's a spell book, one of them's arcane or whatever, kind of like your default attack. You can level each one up, but it's your standard roguelike. There's about 5 levels. You run through each one, tearing through each room, killing everybody, getting XP, and there's a boss fight at the end of each one. So it was a lot of fun for a while, but I kind of got bored with it. I think I played about 8 hours of it, and then it started getting a little old. Because I beat the game twice. I had to go down to easy mode to be able to beat the game and kind of unlock a few things so I could have a go at it on normal mode. But I don't think that's the right way to do a roguelike, to have someone play it on easy mode and then replay the entire game, but just on a higher difficulty. I don't know.
That sounds like Fast and Light, how you basically, it was very hard on normal, and you need to go down to easy to beat it.
There wasn't anything that helped you in easy. You can unlock other ships.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
that was
a challenge in and of itself. And I think that's the key to these roguelikes, is making actually beating the game very difficult. That's how Rogue Legacy was, too. You made a little bit of progress each playthrough, and maybe you beat a boss or two, but until you actually beat the entire game, you could have been 20 hours in.
Except for the speed fucking run guy. Oh, I did it like 21 minutes. I was so mad. I put like 9 hours in.
I think the thing about Fast and Light, which is each ship drastically change your gameplay. So when you got new ships, it was almost like a new play experience.
Yeah, it's so awesome. God, that game's so good. Yeah. I haven't played the Advanced Edition either that everybody got for free.
Oh, I haven't either. I didn't know that.
Yeah. I never got the Crystalline ship either. I think that's the only one that I need to get.
And you said how much was this game?
Ziggurat was... I don't know. I want to say $15. No, you can get a coupon half off really easy. It's like $15 or $20. But there's many coupons out there for the Steam version of
15
it.
$15, yeah. And is it worth $15?
I'd say so. With a coupon, if you get this for $7.50, yeah, why not? You know, if you're a fan of roguelikes, you might like it. But if you're a fan of those old school shooters, you'll probably like it too. It's nice to be able to play a game like this that is in the mode of old school shooters, but not an old school shooter. So you don't have to deal with graphics issues and just being able to run the game.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was a lot of fun. They had trap rooms. Like, we're watching some footage right now of some of the trap rooms. And it encourages you to kind of rush through this. Like, it is a run and gun shooter. You know, like those, like playing Quake, you know, you're bunny hopping through the whole thing and just mowing people down. It's all about strafing, shooting, finding cover. The levels have they have walls, and you're racing through it, not paying too much attention, but you're kind of using the walls to get a better angle on your enemies.
Are there items and power-ups that change your gameplay much?
Or is it
the same shit all the time?
No, there are items and power-ups, but I don't think it has as big of a play in it as, say, Binding of Isaac. But overall, good game. I still really enjoyed it. I'll probably go back to it, play a little bit more at some point. Like I said, not a great roguelike, but great first-person shooter.
And how much was this?
$14.99 for the game.
And worth $14.99?
You can get it for sale half off with the Steam coupon, and at that price, definitely recommend it.
Okay, cool.
All right, so we're going to shut it down a little early this week. Apologize for that, but we will come back next week with lots and lots to talk about. We're going to skip news and listener questions, unfortunately, due to some technical issues. But we will continue next week.
Yep.
Check out our website. We recently updated that.
Really cool.
Yeah, it looks great. Really like how it looks. Not a whole lot of new content on there, but we're going to hopefully be getting that up soon. But the layout is great.
Same shit, shinier.
Yep. Also, let's mention real quick the Twitter giveaway we're going to be doing.
Yeah, so I'm going to make a post tonight. I'll pin it. And if you follow me on Twitter and you put your name, your Twitter name in the in this post that I'm going to put, you're going to be entered into a drawing for a $20 gift card for a Steam Steam gift card, basically. So all you have to do is go to Twitter, follow me, and then put your Twitter name in the Twitter post that I'm going to put, and then we'll have a drawing probably in 2 or 3 weeks.
And what's the Twitter?
DL Gaming, DOT Net.
Yeah, and you can get to our Twitter either from our Steam group. It's the link's posted on there, or from our website, dlgaming.net. So we'll create a discussion and get that going early. And we got a $20 Steam gift card, and we're also going to be giving away 3 more of those in the upcoming week. So look out for that.
Cool.
All right, titties.